Hey, it's Adam Schoenfeld. Welcome back to the Built in Seattle podcast. It's getting to the end of the year here. We're in the holiday season. I hope you're all getting a minute to relax and reflect and be with family as you wrap up the year. On this episode, I'm doing a cross post here of a conversation I had with Kyle Lacey on his podcast, which is called The Revenue Diaries. The funny thing about that is we didn't talk about revenue at all. There was no funnels, no ARR, no SQLs, no SDRs, none of that stuff. It was a personal conversation. We talked about habits for managing stress and parenting in the pandemic and ice cream and everything in between. And as I'm taking a minute to spend time with family and reflect on the year, I thought I would share this conversation with Kyle. I love his podcast, so I highly recommend checking that out as well. This will give you kind of a flavor of what he does. He doesn't give the guests the questions in advance, and he has very kind of personal, free-flowing conversations that are also nice and short. It's only about 18 minutes. So I hope you enjoy this, and thank you so much for all your support of this project. As a reminder, if you want to go to adaminseattle.com, you can subscribe to my newsletter and stay in touch over email that way. With no further ado, here's the cross post of my conversation with Kyle Lacey on The Revenue Diaries.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of, you guessed it, The Revenue Diaries. Today's episode is brought to you by Lessonly, training and enablement software for sales and customer service teams. In today's episode, I have Adam Schoenfeld. He's a VP at Drift, somebody I've known since his days running Simply Measured. He's an entrepreneur. He's a father. He's a neat freak. We talk about a lot of stuff. We talk about being raised by entrepreneurs. It's just it's a great conversation. So I hope you enjoy. Stay safe, stay happy, and I will see you at the next episode. Cheers, everyone. Welcome to The Revenue Diaries, a deeply personal interview series where we ask the top revenue leaders, actually the top leaders in the world, five questions about their work, fears, family, life. You all have been listening long enough. You understand there's just one catch. We don't share any of the questions in advance, so they're coming in blind. So our next guest coming in blind is somebody that I've known for a while. We were just talking that we've never actually met in person, but we have known each other for a long time. He's an entrepreneur, a great marketer, great leader. Adam, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Adam Schoenfeld. I'm a VP of strategy and product at Drift. And I've been a startup founder three times now, most recently SiftRock, which sold to Drift about a little over two years ago now. Wow, time's flying.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's a lot. Well, you add on 2020, so it's like 4 years.
Yeah, 2020 is some weird kind of time distortion in both directions.
You know, I usually start these interviews out with a little bit of a softball question. And you mentioned your three startups. So you've made quite a few pivots in your career and life. You were a senior analyst at Lake Partners. You started a company called Cheddar Media, then launched and ran Simply Measured. You then pivoted to start another company called SiftRock, which, as you mentioned, was sold to Drift. And, you know, that's some risk taking and making big bets. Do you bet big and take the same calculated or uncalculated risks in your personal life that you do your professional?
I don't know that I do, actually. I think my personal life is probably more basic, a little more boring. I did get together with my now wife when we were both really young, like right at college graduation, got married when I was 26. So I think in that respect, right, I've had a very stable, relationship and sort of home life, and I live in suburbia. So I think that my life on the home front, I don't take as many risks as I do perhaps in my career.
Well, why do you think that is? That's pretty much the answer across the board when I'm asking people that have taken risks, is that usually their personal life is less risky for a lot of reasons, right? You have a family, you've got other responsibilities. why is it for you that you can take these risks like spinning out of Simply Measured and starting SifRock and selling to Drift and staying on at Drift and the product team? Like, why do you think you can do that when your personal life you don't?
I think in my professional decision making, you know, it's just kind of that always felt like the default path. Like, I want to start companies. I'm a builder. I'm a creative person. Like, that just seemed like the thing I had to be doing. Like, I love the craft of it. I love everything about that. So I didn't think about it, honestly, in terms of I'm a risk taker or not. I've never thought of it in those terms. In my personal life, I don't think about it in those terms either. Like, I don't think that I'm particularly conservative in how I've configured my life. It's just the thing that I feel like I should be doing. Like, my wife and I got together young. We've sort of built our lives around our personalities and how we operate. And we've added some kids to the mix. And it just kind of like organically got that way. And I feel the same way in business. Like, I'm just trying to keep focused on like my values and what's important to me. And that's just the way each of those dimensions of my life has naturally evolved. Funny enough.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Well, I'm assuming, so I read this is a good segue in the next question. I read, well, for those of you who don't know, Adam is a 40 under 40 winner in Seattle. I think you won in 2013, right?
That's a fact.
It's absolutely. So I was reading your interview, your 40 under 40 interview, and you mentioned that your parents were both entrepreneurial, you know, which leads it, you know, the normal thing is it's going to lead a kid to be an entrepreneur. Like, that's the normal story. I get that. How else did your parents influence you in growing up as well as how you live your life today? Like, were they also risk? Like, we can use the term risk takers because we get it, but were they the same?
Yeah, they were probably similar. Yeah, my dad's an entrepreneur. My mom has been entrepreneurial at various times. My grandpa's an entrepreneur. His father was an entrepreneur.
Runs in the family.
I mean, there's been a lot, and actually most of them have sold furniture.
okay. Are you the first software?
I'm definitely the first in tech. Funny story, actually, neither of my parents went to college. My dad went right into the furniture business at 18 years old, you know, from in high school, sweeping the floors of the store, and then went in.
Your grandpa's store?
My grandpa's store, yeah. And then my dad ultimately, you know, went out and started his own store. So there's a little bit out of my family. My parents influenced on me, but actually my grandfather influenced me even more, probably in that regard of like entrepreneurship and business and all those things. He was a big, big influence in my life. We spent a lot of time together. My parents were divorced growing up and spent most of my time with my mom and my sister and that side. But my grandpa was like always around. He's only 50 years older than me, which is, you know, not a lot when you think about two generations. Yeah. So, you know, he's still around and doing well at 88 years old today, which is an incredible gift.
I did see a picture where you gave him a Simply Measured shirt. I think you said like best marketing you've ever done.
He's got a Drift hat and he wears that. I like to hook him up with the swag for sure.
That's amazing. In the same interview, you said that you eat a bowl of ice cream almost every night. Is that still true? Do you still do that?
I've cut back on that a little bit in my 30s.
I was going to say, it's like, yeah, at the time you were, you know, metabolism was still a little high, right? But
it's probably two or three nights a week now.
Okay. Well, what kind of ice cream are you eating two or three times a week? Like, what's the favorite?
I'm pretty serious about ice cream. So get ready for maybe a long discussion.
I'm ready.
Okay. So let's start with brand.
Okay.
I'm very focused on McConnell's. They're out of Santa Barbara. It's incredible. It's really dense. It's like packed with all these extra ingredients if you want it, but also their vanilla bean is just out of control good. Like, I will put their vanilla bean against anybody's. It's amazing.
What would be like second place vanilla bean?
There is no second place for me anymore. Strauss's, I guess, would be my second place right now. But it's like such a delta between McConnell's and everything else right now for me.
I've only been caught off guard twice in these interviews. And one was the amount of love that Blake Bartlett from OpenView has for cats, which completely threw me off. And this is the second time. Your love for ice cream.
They have this flavor called double peanut butter chip. That if you like peanut butter and chocolate on a basically cream base, it's incredible. They have, I mean, all their basics are really good. Their chocolate chip, their cookies and cream. A lot of it you can't get unless you actually go to Santa Barbara to their shop. But here in Seattle, we're lucky to have a pretty good selection at a few grocery stores. I just love McConnell's ice cream. Jenny's is a pretty famous ice cream in the Midwest. Yeah, they're really good too. But I would put McConnell's a notch above Jenny's.
That's amazing. Okay, so a little bit of a pivot away from ice cream. You have two kids. You told me 7 and 4.5. 2020 has been a hell of a year for everyone involved. How have you handled being a father in 2020, where we're dealing with a pandemic, we're dealing with e-learning, we're dealing with an election, we're dealing with race riots, we're dealing with a lot of shit hitting the fan in the United States of America? How are you dealing with it as a father, especially a father with a kid? Yeah, at 7 years old, it can be pretty formative. Even 4.5 can be formative, right? So how are you dealing with it?
As best I can, which is a lot of times not great.
Me too, man.
You know, I mean, I think that's what it is. Just trying to do my best. Trying to focus, I think, on the basics. Like, let's play. Let's be silly. Let's be here together at dinner. But man, it's been tough. I think it's for me personally, this time has been way harder on the personal front than the professional side, which on the one hand is a huge privilege that, you know, at Drift, we weren't remote. We didn't really skip a beat. I still have a job. You know, our business is still moving forward. So there's a lot of privilege on that side that I'm grateful for. On the family side, you know, my first grader is currently doing distance learning, which for a first grader is a pretty tough deal.
Yeah.
My pre-K daughter is in school, but it's different with masks and why can't I hug my friends? Yeah. And so, yeah, it's been a challenge. I've tried to just, focus on those basics of like, get outside, run around, play, and try to control my reactions to the situation as best I can.
Control your reactions in terms of if they're on the playground running up around people, or what do you mean by control your reactions?
Control my reactions here at home when, you know, maybe we've all been in the house all day and the place is a complete mess and they're pushing back on not wanting to brush their teeth or come to the dinner table and you're about to explode of just like, what is this? Like, I'm going to walk out of here right now and just like, take a deep breath. All right, I'm going to be judged in the long term by what I model to them in these stressful situations. And so I want to show up as a calm, thoughtful, patient father. And so just trying to remind myself of that. And I'm certainly not perfect and certainly plenty of misses, but I think that's where I've been trying to do the work.
How do you manage that stress? I mean, is it really just counting down? Do you meditate? Did you learn, you know, you've played golf forever. Did you learn stress management through golf? I mean, I have a hard enough time doing it, even just with breathing techniques, let alone, and I'm terrible at golf. So how have you managed it?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of systems and habits that I've put in place have helped. In how I structure my time, how I structure my day. I wake up super early. I'm big on the morning routine, the meditation, the exercise. Shout out to Peloton. That thing has saved my life during the pandemic.
Rachel Lacey, did you hear this? If you're listening, shout out to Peloton. Lacey family needs to buy a Peloton.
I love the Peloton. Yeah. I got it before the pandemic, right before, luckily. So I think that stuff all helps, trying to get sleep. But then I think it's like the micro just awareness. And I try to focus on, you know, things that I'm seeing myself do or patterns that I fall into and trying to, you know, be aware of those in the moments. Like, hey, I'm getting frustrated a lot because the house is messy. I'm a tidy person. And so that's one of those things that's just killing me about the pandemic is the whole family is here.
Oh yeah.
Dishes and the toys. It's just triggering me left and right. And so I'm like trying to notice when maybe that's putting me like turning.
Do you just remove yourself from the room when that stuff happens? Or you figured out that, oh, the pattern's happening. I need to adjust it.
Yeah. I think it's more self-talk because you can't remove yourself physically.
True.
So like I have one thing, which is like my desk and stuff is like a sanctuary of tidiness. And then
clean.
I'm like, I can at least just go in here and read for a minute if I'm really at the edge. But I think it's more like the self-talk around, like, this isn't a big deal, and trying to flip the narrative to say, this is actually positive that I get to have the opportunity to maybe get over my clean freak nature, because it can hold me back sometimes for sure.
Love it, man. You had a pretty massive opportunity to start SifRock, but it meant that you had to leave Simply Measured, which had been, I mean, six and years and 7 months is a long time in software, right? We both know that, a long time in tech. It'd been a huge part of your life. Take me back to the last day and what you were thinking, not anything about the work, like just down to the core. How were you feeling and what were you thinking, like the moment that you left the office?
It's a deep question, because that was a very formative experience for me, that almost 7 years. I think the overwhelming emotion, though, at that particular day was one of excitement and confidence. Like, I knew I was going to do something that was a great fit for me with a great partner. I had Katie Ferris lined up to be the first sales rep. Like, everything was kind of lined up, and I was very ready. And I think that's the primary emotion from the last day, because, you know, obviously when you're leaving a company that you founded, the transition period is long. So there were many emotions over the preceding 6 months, 12 months, as that day was approaching, as I was planning for that. But at that point, when it was like, okay, you know, I left and said goodbye, it was excitement, because I was really pumped to go work with Chris and Katie and get SifRock started.
That's great. All right, last question. What piece of advice do you have for up and coming leaders from your career, and like the one piece of advice you would give them?
I think it's to be curious, if I were to say it simply, and put in place the systems and habits that are going to allow you to learn at a high rate or high velocity. I don't know what the right way to say that is, but you know, I didn't really get into reading until my 30s. And so just as a for instance, right, like how do you build habits around reading, learning from others, meeting with mentors? There's so much online now that you can learn. But I think if you can build some habits and practices, even if in a small way, then that's where I think all the leverage is, like getting better at getting better. So that would be my advice.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, I'd frame that, man. We can frame that quote. I'll send you a frame of you, of your curious. Thank you for coming, man. If people want to find you outside of like your location, where can they find you online?
LinkedIn is the best place. I also have a podcast that I host and a newsletter. If you go to adaminseattle.com, that will take you to all the stuff I do.
Your podcast is featuring people in Seattle, right?
It is. Yeah. I took a local angle on it. It's very much their personal stories of building companies, but it's meeting with people locally, which at first it was all in person, because I was like, oh, great, I want to go meet with people in person. But now we do it over Zoom for the time being.
You know, what's interesting though, is I found my ability to meet more people. Like I'm meeting way more people now, which has its negative connotations, right? Where you're just zapped of all energy because you've talked to too many people. But that's also a manner of managing your own time appropriately. But I've found that you can meet more because you're not having to travel in between locations and you're just on Zoom. It's not the same, of course. I get that, but it's been very interesting experiences here.
That's true. Yeah, you do. There is something to that. And we're all in the same situation. So kind of, you don't have to navigate people's travel schedules. Yeah, I like it. You're finding the gifts everywhere, Kyle.
Yeah, well, hopefully by the time we air this thing, Pfizer has released their vaccine and we're all just hanging out together. So we'll see. But crossing of the fingers. All right, everybody. That's another episode of Revenue Diaries. You can like, you can subscribe, you can review, whatever you want to do, but most of all, share it. Thank you and tune in next time.